my friend Sean, who's like in his 30s, we were having lunch one day when I was, this is like 3 or 4 years ago. No, I was 20. So it was 5 years ago. I was 20 when we had this conversation. And he was saying, that's crazy because of what I'm about to tell you, like, that's crazy. Okay. Essentially, he was saying, yeah, by 25, like, your personality is what it's going to be. And that's it. Like, by the time you're 25, you're pretty much who you're going to be. And I was like, really? You know, and I was like, think about it. I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. That is when your brain finishes developing. So it adds up. And I think, I don't know. I can't imagine where else my personality could go from this point.
Seriously?
I mean, think about it. Not like the things specifically that I like or the things that I do, but like personality wise, it's been this for a while. And I feel like it's just getting more honed in on kind of exactly what the authenticity of this is my personality is.
I feel differently. I still feel like I'm in the very early stages of myself.
In what way?
Almost like I feel that way more so as the years go on. And I think living in New York contributes to that. But, you know, I'm finding like new interests all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's not just like, you know, tangible interests, like skills I want to learn, like, you know, animation or like music production. Like, it's not that, but it's like new ways I want to be a person.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, new ways I want to express my emotions. That, like, that comes from, like, for example, coming off the relationship, I was not good at expressing, you know, emotions sometimes, like, in certain ways. And so, and for a long time, I was like, cool with that. And I know this is familiar to you. And so now I'm like, no, I'm not cool with that. Like, I have a voice and I want it to be heard. And for the longest time, I was like, I'm cool, like, keeping it in. But now it's like, no, like, I should share what my experience is with people. And I didn't always think that. So, like, that's one example.
Yeah, well, first of all, that's good to hear. Secondly, I'll go with a question. Do you think, in my eyes, that is your personality, though, also, in a way? That, like, you have this curiosity drive, and you have that desire to learn. You've always been that way. And then the what of the desire to learn has just shifted. Like, and is that personality, or is that just how the personality takes effect or like becomes tangible?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, I do agree that I've always been curious. Like, I'm always looking for the next best thing. I'm always looking for improvement. But now I guess my argument to counter what you just said would be, I am like so interested in doing that if I, you know, follow through with some of these things that I'm curious in, it could end up altering like who I am as a person. And not like, I'm not saying I would go from being like my authentic self to like my non-authentic self. It's just like a new definition of what myself is.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm figuring out. It's like, I don't know, you know, if that's what's happening, but I feel like it's wide open for me.
I agree. I think there's plenty of room to grow. So we'll have to find out if Sean's right. We'll check back in on this in a few many years.
Yeah. I mean, as 25-year-olds, I feel like we're in a good position to make a judgment on that. And my judgment is he's wrong. But yeah, set a calendar reminder.
I'll put it down. Welcome to Don't Forget to Be a Human. I'm Ryan, and I will be your human. This is the sort of weekly episode of Wholesomeness that relieves you from the exhaustion of the mental processing I put y'all through earlier in the week. It is a great day for a day full of curiosity and vulnerability. I'm here with Eric, and we're your friends now. Hi, Eric.
Hey.
So I have an update on my and Eric's last episode together with Ashley. We were talking about I Love You Man and trying to determine if we knew any other great comedies that had wholesome male friendships like that. And we got word today from Ashley that Bad Trip on Netflix may have just that. Neither of us have checked it out yet. I don't think Eric is going to.
I will probably not watch that, but I'd like to hear about it.
Yes, so I will do that for the both of us and let him know, and then maybe let y'all know. We will see. But this also transitions us into what we are doing today. Eric and I send each other questions of the day sometimes, and he posts some of his on Instagram, at Outside Eric, if you want to see magical realism, photography, and graphic design. It's fantastic. Or, wait, he's got a TikTok now. Please plug your TikTok now.
Yeah, check me out on TikTok.
Is it the same thing?
It looks the same plug that you just gave, but there's more behind the scenes. You know, it's like I show my editing process, which I really enjoy.
Right, but is it the same at Outside Eric?
Yep.
Cool. Perfect. Yes. And it is very interesting if you like the how people do cool things type of videos on TikTok, which I enjoy. So one of the more recent questions of the day that I asked Eric was a few weeks ago, by the time this comes out. I asked if they were to make a new Jackass movie, who would star in it? And we didn't really come up with anything that exciting. Eric pitched Tyler, the Creator. I thought that was probably the best pitch that we came up with. That was a good one. But then the next day, essentially, Bad Trip dropped on Netflix and answered the question for us. Eric Andre, of course. And that's essentially part of what this movie is. Anyway, that's irrelevant. It's relatively irrelevant, except that that is what we are doing today. Eric and I are going to chat about some of our past questions of the day and some that we haven't talked about. Some of these questions are deep and may come with some good learning, but a lot of them are just curiosity and entertainment. And we hope you all enjoy.
I want to point out that you just said relatively irrelevant, which I don't know if that's a valid term to ever use.
All right, let's get into it. Is relative question of the day, is relatively irrelevant a valid term to ever use? I'm going to say
there's no way you can like use that in a valid way.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Let me repeat what I said, if I can. I said that is relatively irrelevant.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, I'll walk us through it. All right. Relatively irrelevant. Relative to what we are doing, the information of Eric Andre would be the one to star in a new Jackass movie is irrelevant.
I think it's got to be one or the other.
No, because relative to what we're talking about going forward, it is irrelevant. It's relatively irrelevant.
But then it's not irrelevant. If it makes sense, then it's relevant. Last weekend, I was with some friends, and we were talking about people that are hot, ugly, or ugly hot. Have you ever heard about like anyone describing someone this way?
No, I have never heard this before.
It's like this is the same argument. So I guess hot, like you can be hot, ugly. Wait, no. You want to be ugly hot, but you don't want to be hot ugly because then you're ugly. But if you're ugly hot, you're still hot.
Right.
I think it's, yeah. So, and I accepted that that was a possibility. So I guess by the same logic, I will accept that relatively irrelevant.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll see what the listeners have to say about that. Yep. Ooh, a very interesting one. Now, wow. All right, let's just get right into it. Does religion hold back society or move us forward?
So that's one that I had written down in my notes. Uh-huh. Do you want me to go ahead and speak on it?
What's your thoughts? I've got plenty, but
I actually have been holding back asking this to my followers because I feel like it's such a loaded question. Because
for sure. I think
the answer is like overwhelmingly yes, hold back. For like countless reasons.
Sure.
And so I've actually like went back to this question and tried to figure out a different way to ask it, or like to ask something slightly different that would, you know, evoke a better conversation on it, because I don't want to just be like shitting on religion, because I honestly, I do that all the time. And I also look for like other people to do the same. Like I love hearing about like that, but I want someone on the other side to, I want multiple people on the other side to like have a good, you know, bring something good to the conversation and like convince or, you know, provide perspectives that I am not thinking about, which I know there are plenty of. So yeah, I mean, my quick answer to the question is I think it holds us back, but
yeah, I think, so when I read this one off your notes, I thought it was pretty interesting because obviously you and I talk about and think about this a lot. In my experience, I have been more involved in religion than you have. And at least spirituality on top of that. But the question, does religion hold back society or move us forward, is difficult because of how it's structured in my eyes. As you said, that maybe there's a better way to ask it. If we're looking at society, does it hold us back or move us forward? I think it holds us back. If we're looking individually, it moves us forward. Because it's when you get the societal, like the cultural aspects of religion and like ways that groups of people are group thinking together in a way that becomes toxic or not as progressive as religion is meant to be for your mind, then yeah, it holds us back. But on the individual level, if you can understand religion in your own way that is moving you forward, because that's what religion is literally meant to do, is to give individuals philosophies to live by, a more positive life, and like make better choices. So inherently it should be moving us forward. So it's like, how do, as a society, it holds us back, but on the individual level, it's literally created to move you forward.
I think what I have come to view it as is not that religion gives you philosophies to, you know, better your life. Like that sounds really generous the way you put it. You know, the way I viewed it and how it affects other people, it's more, you know, like rigid structure versus philosophy. Cause philosophy sounds good because, you know, it's like a guideline. And when I say guideline, I mean like, you know, a loose structure, which is not tying you in, but, you know, gives, like, hold your hand a little bit if you need to, but then like points you in the right direction. So if it's guidance, I think it's great, but then, and I think that's what it should be. And I think that's what people want it to be, but I just don't think that's what it is. Like it's more just hard rules than, you know, than the guidance, at least what I've seen from it. And I'm also not trying to like shit on people that use religion, because I do think people can use religion in a really positive way. And I've seen that too. I've definitely seen it too, but just like, you know, in general, I still don't think I'm sold on that it personally advances you either, but I like hearing what you're saying.
Yeah. I think it definitely depends on kind of what you're saying about your own philosophy of how you approach it. Is it rules or are they guidelines, and take from it with curiosity, and this is what, you know, you can read it literally or non-literally, and each way is going to give you something very different. Or if you take the teachings of somebody who has read it literally or non-literally and then created teachings from that, you have to take that with curiosity as well. And are they telling you these are the rules, or are they saying, you know, but ask questions, like always ask why. Like my rabbi at Temple was always telling us to ask why, and always asking us to challenge it.
And that sounds good. I like that. maybe it just only becomes a problem when you're then putting your interpretation onto other people, right?
So like, exactly,
let's say you even do take whatever religion is giving you as like rigid rules. Like, yeah, I do think that can hold you back, but as long as you're not, you know, pushing that onto someone else, then okay, maybe it's fine. Like, pass with that. But I think a lot of people don't do that. They take their interpretation and they think it is the way, and they make judgments on other people when they're not interpreting it the same way.
Right. They're trying to use religion as a form of control in their own life, and therefore that lack of control exudes into trying to control other people's experiences as well. But I guess that goes right back to the, you know, is the question about society or is the question about the individual? But the question was about society, so I think we've come to a conclusion there. Y'all can take whatever interpretation you want from it. This one is from March 15th, 2019. How do you define growth?
Oh, I remember talking about that. I don't remember what I said, but I remember asking it.
Well, you asked me. I don't think you ever responded to it.
Okay, so you answer first.
Okay, fair enough. How do I define growth? I think it is actively choosing to make selfish choices for the benefit of the world around you.
That almost sounded like a paradox.
Right? Almost, though. I heard almost.
Making selfish choices for the betterment of other people.
Yeah, because you can't do good for others unless you're doing good for yourself. And the best you can do for others is only at the level of your best self. So to be able to do that, like, you have to consciously be choosing to take action and make those positive choices for yourself so that they can bleed into the other areas of your life.
So a main pillar of your definition of growth is like the effect on other people.
Yes, because I think that maybe the main pillar is the positive choices, like making, taking action.
Not the main pillar, but like
main. I think it is, because if you are making those positive choices and you're doing that for yourself, if you're not seeing an effect on the world around you and like your perspective of the world and what's coming to you, like the people you're interacting with and the opportunities you're getting, then I think you're probably not actually growing, or you're probably not making choices that are healthy. Maybe they're positive for you in that moment, but long term, maybe they're not the choices that are needing to be made.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. I don't think other people came into my mind at all when I was like when I first had my immediate reaction to.
Well, yeah, I mean, growth is a extremely personal thing to be doing.
Yeah, but your definition that you said, like, before saying anything else, you mentioned like improving other people's lives beyond your own, which is like not what I would have said.
I think the reason I add that is because of growth. Like, the reason you're growing is because you are trying to affect the way you experience the world. And so you would be more consistently making choices that positively affect yourself. And by doing that, you are more consistently making choices that affect those around you. And because if you're making choices that are negatively affecting people around you, that reflects right back on you. And then you feel in a negative space. And then it's cyclical that you can't be growing if that's the case.
Yeah. I agree. That was really interesting because I have a different definition of it.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, please.
Well, I was thinking, I mean, it's not like a different, you know, definition. Like, we're still going for the same. I agree with everything you said. I guess I would say it differently. The first thing that came to my head was, I think something that I've said to you before is like, growth is the opposite of comfort. Yeah. Or, you know, comfort does not equal growth. I think I was like texting someone last night and I said this, like, this is top of mind, like, often. And yeah, so I guess growth for me is like feeling uncomfortable a little bit because you're doing something that is not, you know, easy, I guess. And then looking back on it and reflecting on it and improving upon it, you know, so it's like a process.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would also venture to add that when you take those steps that are uncomfortable, you gain a new base level of comfort. And then like each time you're taking that step up, your new base level of comfort is more and more positive, and you're able to sit comfortably for longer in a space because you've made it to this next kind of step.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. You're like raising your hand and like creating this visual metaphor that is like you're ascending as you're doing it. And I was thinking in my head that you're like expanding. So I was thinking like you're casting a wider net each time. So like your comfort, you know, level is like this comfort net and it's getting bigger. And underneath your net, you're like taking in all of these things that you're comfortable with and like things that you have, you know, conquered or, you know, achieved, I guess.
Yeah, that's funny. I wonder what the difference is in our thought process that has me going upward and you going outward.
Going out, yeah, that's actually really interesting. I want to read more about that.
I'm curious about the horizontal. I think I have a pitch to why my thought was vertical like that, because I have always seen growth as like a you're taking forward and upper momentum towards. I don't know. I feel like for me, goals are forward and upward. And things that I want are that direction. And also my top Clifton strengths, one of them is significance, which is like, I'm going to get this a little wrong, but essentially means that you want to make significant positive impact on the world, like very large positive impact on the world. And because of that, significance would then be like going up and up. And at least in my head, it's like when somebody is significant, they are larger or like above or whatever. Not saying I'm trying to be above other people, but like that stepping upwards is like stepping into the significance of like the change that I'm trying to make and the ideal that I'm trying to bring.
Yeah. I wonder if like you read so many books that I feel probably have like diagrams in them that are like subconsciously putting this image into your mind of like, you know, the ladder or like the pillars, like the
oh, vertical. Probably. Form, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And it's also like, it makes so much sense. Like, you know, onward and upward, like if you're going up, you know, you're like, you're improving. and it makes so much sense. And then you hear it a lot in like the business world too, you know, like climbing the ladder.
Well, I think, this is an interesting one. When I think of like what would be awesome right now, and I would go to like climbing a mountain, and the idea being getting to the top of the peak. Now, you're a very community-based person, and in that, and your room, like all of your photos and your people, like it's an around you thing, and you love to be in that space of those photos. And you know, tell me if I'm wrong and overstepping in this thought process, but I think that's an interesting connection right there as well.
Okay, on the mountain thing, let's go back to that real quick.
Sure.
As you were saying this, I was not thinking about climbing a mountain, like ascending a mountain, as like a vertical task. And like obviously, a mountain like has a peak and it's like at a high point. Like I'm not discrediting that, but I don't look at it as like bottom. At the top, you know, I started like down here and ended up here because like the accomplishment of the mountain for me is like being able to consume, for the listeners, with my hands, I'm like waving my hands like a motion. It's like to consume and like take in everything that is around me that I'm seeing, which is, you know, I guess on a horizontal plane more so than a vertical.
Yeah, no, you're so right, because you want that visual, that image of turning around, and I want to see what's up there that I can't see.
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny. I bet there is some kind of business-based free like psychological test that's some sort of goal orientation, something that is like articulates your goal orientation or the way you structure your goals or priorities, maybe, that could be related to this.
There's gotta be.
I'll have to find out. I'll have to go back through all of the hundreds of assessments that I've taken. I'm sure there's one in there that's telling me this.
And the hundreds of books that you have.
Exactly. I think I'm at over like 300 books with over 150 read right now, which is feeling pretty good.
In what time frame?
Probably like 3 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. 150 in 3 years, there's no way that's accurate. But I would say probably 100 in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Like you tell me about 100 every week, so
that's true. That's true. So the question is, are you currently in or have you ever been in a long-term relationship with someone you met on a dating app? I have not. What about you?
I actually remember, I'm trying to find it on Instagram to find results. I was in a relationship with a girl I met on Hinge at the time when I asked that. And I remember I asked it because I was having that conversation with my friends at that time. I was with a group of people where like every single person in the group was in a relationship with someone they met on Hinge or Tinder. And we were just talking about like how dating is via online apps a lot now. And this was also, I mean, it's still COVID is still happening, but this was, you know, this is a COVID thing. So it's much harder to meet people in person anyway. So a lot of people are meeting people on apps. I think it definitely depends on who, like what age group of people you're asking and who you're asking. Like out, like beyond college, I think the percentage of people that say, yes, I am dating someone that I met online, like is significantly higher than, you know, college age and below.
Right. There were a couple things that are sort of interrelated that came to me about online dating because I hated it, did not like it, still not the biggest fan of it. But you opened my eyes up to something, and so did another podcast I was listening to. And essentially, y'all were saying that if you don't believe in online dating or you don't think it's going to go well, it's not going to go well. And
Yeah,
it's like, of
fully.
course, like that's how life works. If you have a negative perspective of something, like it's not going to go well. Once I finally got that through my head, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Why I have never, like, I always went into it with the thought, this can't work. This is not going to work. Not that it has, but when you are able to change that paradigm, the whole process becomes so much easier and not exhausting.
Yeah, that goes for everything in life. But for sure, big time online dating. I've seen that happen with a lot of other people. You know, they're like, man, I'm just like not having success with it, or like, you know, like I don't really love it. Like I'm not meeting good guys or good girls or whatever. And I think a lot of it is what you bring to it. Like you gotta have like a hopeful attitude at least, and just like try to have fun, like talk to people like they're people and not, you know, little robots. But yeah.
That's a big one that you're very good at is the dating process is fun for you. And for me, it was like the idea of that for so long was like, no, I do not want to do that. And because of that, I would just like, yeah, that date sucked. I'm not going to do it again. Well, yeah, because you were trying to figure out if it was going to be a good date the entire time you were on it instead of like having fun.
Man. I mean, I have like romanticized what dating can be for me in my life because I like moved to New York and I was like, oh, I'm gonna date her in New York. It's gonna be the coolest thing ever. And whether like objectively that is true or not, like I guess it didn't matter because I had put into my head that it was gonna be fun and like I was gonna have a good time. And like I went into it with a positive attitude. And I, you know, by and large, I've had like a very positive, you know, time doing it. I've had good experiences. And I know that it's not the case for a lot of other people. Like I've heard really bad things. I've also heard like terrible things people have done. Just like people being rude and like, you know, people ghosting left and right and just people not treating others. Maybe that's the key. Treat others like humans and then like you're good.
No, like literally golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated on a dating app, and you won't even care about the people that don't treat you the right way. Like it's crazy. Oh, they ghosted you? Well, what about the other person that you're actually chatting with and like interested in? How much does it really matter if that person that was barely even talking to you ghosted you if you're like actually having a good time talking to this other person?
I found when I asked the question on Instagram. So, man, I asked this December 23rd. I had people in their feelings 2 days before Christmas. So the question was, are you currently in or have you ever been in a relationship with someone you met on a dating app? And 40% said yes, and 60% said no. Now, let me go into like my insights on who my followers are here, my audience. Okay, so almost all the people that follow me are between the ages of 18 and 34, which, you know, makes plenty of sense. 60% women, 40% men. So I don't know who answered the question or not, but you know, people that are in their 20s. I actually, it was 40% yes, 60% no. I actually thought it was going to be more people said yes. I thought it was going to be like 50-50.
Really? I didn't think it was going to be that.
Oh, you know what?
I'm remembering something that me and my friends talked about, like while we were, you know, talking about this. In New York, I think it's like 75% if you ask, you know, people. And maybe that is much lower in other places.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. It's probably like so intimidating being around that many people. Like there's just so many people in New York. It's like, well, how am I gonna meet somebody? 'Cause I could meet anybody anywhere. So
Yeah.
like how can I like narrow it down even?
Yeah. You feel like you are vetting someone at least a little bit when you're meeting them online, because you know you can photos of them and you can like talk to them first. But like if you just meet someone randomly at a bar or whatever, you know, you don't really know. I guess you never know, but like you don't, you know, it feels like you're even going into it more blind. And also I don't like talk like I don't like approaching people at bars.
No, I hate that. No way. Can't get me. Not this introvert.
The park, I think, is a good place. Like there's a great park near me and there's always people hanging out. And like everyone that lives in my neighborhood is someone is like my age and like working in a fun industry. So you know, maybe the park is the new bar.
The park is the new bar. Welcome to COVID.
The park, yeah, actually because of the park has been the new bar. So shout out. Oh, wait, dude, that reminds me. I saw an ad for Bumble a few months ago and the ad, it was just copy, you know, yellow background, black text, and it said, "Your park or mine." That was the whole ad,
That's
and
a
I was like,
good
this is brilliant because it's something I've said like in
one.
the last like at the time I was like, damn, I said that like a month ago to someone because that's what it was. They nailed it. Shout out Bumble for using a line that I use Hinge. The line didn't work for me on Bumble, but it works on Hinge. No, I don't know. I didn't try. Do you want to ask the one that you had?
Yeah. Is music better than sex?
Oh yeah, I remember this. I remember our answers, I think. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
What is your answer currently, and is it different than what you think your answer was?
I think it's the same. I think I said music then, and my answer is music now, and it's like an emphatic yes to music. I don't know how excited I was about music last time, but I feel like every day I fall more in love with music and how it makes me feel. So, like easy answer, music is better than sex.
Absolutely easy. 100%. Music is better than sex. And that was March 14th, 2019. So you have definitely grown a lot in your music love since then.
I have, I really have.
Yeah. So I think for sure, if it was a yes, then it is a hell yes now.
The hell yes. And in 2 years, it's going to be a fuck yeah. Because all people are making music.
The question is, do you prefer creativity or consistency? And there are six categories.
Oh my God.
So, creativity or consistency? First category, an album.
For sure, creativity. Two things immediately popped into my head. The
Hit me.
first is I saw a tweet earlier today from Kevin Abstract, the leader of Brockhampton, and they have a new album coming out tomorrow. And he tweeted, please go into our new, something like this, go into our new album as a new album and not our last five albums. And I was like, respect, you know, because that's growth. Like, I think
Yeah.
creativity is growth. And I also remember thinking about before Kanye West's album, The Life of Pablo, came out, talking about it with some friends. And we were like, man, do we think it's going to be like his older stuff? You know, we were unsure because he's also before that album, he already had a bunch of different vibes. And if you had said consistency then, and if you got a consistent album or something that was consistent with his old albums at that time, you would not have The Life of Pablo, right? Like, Life of Pablo was, you know, new and unique, and it still is, and it's insane and it's awesome. So those are two, yeah, those are just the two things that came to my mind. Creativity for sure. I think growth is good. I think with an artist, a lot of times you want to hold on to like what you love about them. So you want them to make more stuff that you know, love. And it's because it has like such an emotional, you know, connection to you. But I think if they give you something that you love and it's emotional to you, then like just savor that and like take that for what it is. Like you can have that, you know, that one piece live on its own and bring that feeling. And if the next thing doesn't, like it's okay. So creativity for sure.
All right. Well, first of all, I respect your answer and I agree with all of it. But but you answered the exact same way you did last time, down to the reference to Kanye.
No way.
Not even joking. But here's where the problem lies. The question was, do you prefer creativity or consistency with an album, not an artist's repertoire?
Oh, so are we talking about like the songs in the album or like album to album?
Exactly. So both times you have answered album to album. I'm talking about songs in the album. Maybe we need to
change the wording of the question. Because I've misinterpreted it both times. I'm sorry. I do apologize.
It's okay. Would you change your answer or would you keep it the same?
I would definitely like be saying that consistency is more, or not the most important, but more important now than I was saying with my last argument. So within an album, consistency. Yeah, maybe I'll go with yes to consistency, because I think about albums where I've listened to it and been like, I don't really know what that was, or like, that was kind of weird. I say that because my thoughts are, it seemed like all over the place, or right. It seemed like it didn't have like a focused theme or message or whatever.
Yeah, so, I think there's also the idea of like an album that is consistent all the way through with like the sound or the theme or whatever it is. Those songs that you don't like as much don't stand out to you as much as I don't like these songs as an album that's inconsistent. You're just going to be like, well, fuck, you know, these 8 songs. I like these 3 or 4 songs. And then an album that's more consistent, you can be like, I'm okay with all of these songs. And if the album just played, I could listen all the way through and I wouldn't be skipping songs because it feels like it's together.
Okay, wait. So this is actually making me think about it in a different way.
Let's say
there's an album and it's 10 songs. Or no, let's say this. Name an artist you... Okay, Anderson .Paak.
Okay,
let's get into it. And Bruno Mars have... This is a hypothetical. They have an album coming out. Let's say it's going to be 10 songs.
Okay, hopefully not. Hopefully now, 20.
It's probably going to be less than 10 because the collabs are never like overloaded. But... Okay, disregard Leave the Door Open. Like, I already think that is a masterpiece of a song. So right. Let's say, like, we either haven't heard it yet or, you know, whatever, it's not on the album. The album has 10 songs. If I told you right now, here's how you're going to feel about the album. Every single song is going to sound like a 7 out of 10 to you. That's option A. Or option B is there are going to be 2 songs on there that you would give a 1 out of 10. There's going to be another song on there that you would give, like, a 4 out of 10. A handful of songs you give a 6 out of 10. But then there's 2 songs that you give a 9 out of 10, and there's 1 song that you would give a 10 out of 10. That's option 2. Which would you take?
I'd take option 1, personally.
Really?
Yeah, because I think about, like, when you say that, I think about Mark Ronson's Uptown Special, and I would say pretty consistently those are 7 out of 10s, all the songs.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe between 6 and 8 the whole time. But then there's that Bros album that I played a lot when we were in Montana, and there were songs that are definitely real low, and there's 2 songs that we played on repeat that were really, really good, and I would take the Mark Ronson album.
That's a good point. When the perspective that you just offered, I would also take the Mark Ronson album. Also, I don't know that album that well at all, but when like the way you talked about the Bros album was not appealing to me. Maybe it's because I don't know the songs as well, but I do know like some of the good songs from it. But when I was pitching it to you before, you just said that, you know, option A or B, option B was like the clear choice for me, like obvious choice, because I think my attitude towards it was, you know, the best songs, like 9 out of 10 and 10 out of 10 songs will live with you forever.
Right.
And, you know, songs can mean, you know, can stick with you forever. And it's also just easier to like, you know, consume a song, you know, forever than a full album.
Right. So, and we live in the Spotify world where we don't have to consume all the songs that we don't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like 30 years ago, you want a consistent album. You can't stick around. But yeah, no, I think I'm still leaning towards the album that has 2 songs that are 10 out of 10, and then even like 8 songs that are 2 out of 10, because I want those like 2 songs. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right.
It's a good question.
That was really fun. Do you prefer creativity or consistency in an employee?
I forgot that we just finished 1/6 of this question. Okay, creativity or consistency in an employee. I mean, depends on the position of that employee, right?
Does it?
Kind of feels like it. You have to have a mix. There's like, you can't have a business that works with a team where every single person is like one, or, you know, is fully creative or like fully consistent. You have to have a mix. And because of the mix, like some of those have to apply more intentionally to different positions, I think. But right. I'll just say creatively.
All right, I chose creativity as well.
Yeah, okay.
But I agree with what you're saying. There, like, you have to be consistent, otherwise nothing's gonna get done. But
yeah.
When I guess I thought of it more in a problem solving manner of like, what are employees here for? Like, we are here to be problem solvers, and therefore, if you want consistency, get a fucking robot. Robots can do most of the jobs these days. So if you want a good employee, like, it's creativity in my eyes at this moment. I could be swayed though.
Well, you swayed me just now and I was already on your side. So. Good argument.
An employer, creativity or consistency. Ooh. This is funny because when we originally asked this question, you did not know your employer as well as you do now.
That's funny. Do you have the answer of what I said then?
Yes.
Oh man, dude. I mean, my gut reaction is I'm leaning towards consistent. What did I say back then?
You originally said creativity, which is funny because what you just pitched just now is more accurate than that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because you want like stability above you.
Yeah, I chose consistency too. I agree with it for that fact alone.
Yeah. All right, let's go with that.
All right. Do you prefer creativity or consistency in sex?
Creativity, for sure. Yeah, because consistency gets boring, right? Yeah, creativity.
I said, and I still agree, I said right down the middle.
What kind of answer is that? That's the whole point, is to pick something.
All right. Hey, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Let me rethink it then.
I think creativity is important because consistency like will not bring you closer to your partner if you have the same sex with them a million times, again and again and again.
Yes.
You know, if you're in it, you know, just to like, you know, do it, then yeah, that's fine. But, you know, it's like sex should be like fun and like a team building exercise, you know.
I agree. I think that's a great way to talk about it.
Yeah. And so there's growth opportunity in the sex you're having with your partner. So I think, and not just like in a sexual way, but I mean, you know, in like emotional way, like a fun way. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. I agree with you. I think in my mind, like, consistency is important because I'd rather have consistent intimacy than sporadic intimacy. And like, I'd rather it be consistent intimacy and not as creative, as long as the intimacy is there, than sporadic intimacy. But when it happens, it's like crazy creative, which I'm sure there's a lot of people that love and prefer that. But I think personally for me, it's the other one.
So what I'll argue against the intimacy equaling consistency is that I think it can't, if it is consistent in like the way it's performed, then I think you can lose intimacy because it becomes like a routine instead of something that you're like actively engaged in. It's more of just like a path activity, right?
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, what I think about when I'm thinking like what the bad part about consistency is.
Sure.
Is that it can like fall into something that feels less connected, you know, because it's just like you're just doing it.
Right. And I don't know that when I'm speaking about consistency right now, I'm talking about how you're doing it or when you're doing it. But I also don't know exactly what I'm suggesting with consistency. So I think you're right. Creativity would be a better sell.
Cool.
Do you prefer creativity or well, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you drink coffee currently?
Kinda.
All right. That works enough. You did not drink coffee the last time I asked you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer creativity or consistency with your coffee / tea / drinks?
Okay,
that are not non-alcohol.
So this is the easy one. My answer is creativity because my answer was kind of because sometimes I'm drinking like a coffee drink and other times I'm drinking like a coffee flavored drink. And then other times I'm drinking like, you know, like a clean energy, like caffeine beverage. And I'm only drinking it because it has caffeine, which is why a lot of people would drink coffee. And the only reason I'm not drinking the coffee is because I don't like the taste of it. Like I still want the effect of it. So creativity there.
Same. You said consistency last time, which is interesting because it was the only one you said consistency to.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool. All right. Final one. Do you prefer creativity or consistency when it comes to dates?
Oh, my God, dude. Creativity. Like,
I know you do.
All the way. I think actually, when did we talk about this last? Like, do you have the date?
Yes, this is March 18th, 2019.
Okay. March 18th, 2019. I had moved to New York
just a couple months earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. I had not fully like gotten into the dating scene yet. I don't think I really was dating anyone at that time. Actually, I think I had started seeing someone, but it wasn't like super serious. But thinking back on like the dates that I've been on, the consistent thing about them where I have the same conversation with the same person or not with a different person, like over and over again, like that's boring as hell. So every time I end up talking about like the same topic with a different person, I try to be creative and like either say in a different way or like think back to a different feeling I had so I can like talk about a story in a different way and pitching the same story. So that's like one aspect of the creativity to it. And the other is like, obviously like doing fun, different, you know, activities, like going different places and, you know, not just like getting drinks at a restaurant every time.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this, because we both like the album question. We view this question differently from each other. Would you prefer really interestingly creative dates that are inconsistent or consistent dates that are not as creative?
The first, because then they're better stories. Only, you know, telling like a story about a date you went on, like whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And also I like having the memories of the dates I've been on. Sure. You know, like it's fun to like think back and you know, be like, oh, that was cool that I did that, or like I had a nice time with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd get more out of that if it was like sporadic, fun, crazy ones versus consistent 7 out of 10 dates.
That's fair. I would take the 7 out of 10s. I'd rather be building that than, I don't know, I think I'd rather be able to tell you the life story of the person I'm dating than the individual stories of the dates I've been on.
7 out of 10 is like the enemy of my ideal life.
I know it is.
Like in every aspect. Because 7 out of 10 is like good, comfortable, like doing pretty good, you know, like satisfactory. And that to me is like, that is what I am always trying to.
That's true. That's your photography, dude. I mean, like you take pictures that are 7 out of 10, you make them 10 yeah. out of 10. Like,
yeah,
that's what you do.
Yeah. It's always like, how can you make this an 8 or a 9?
Yeah.
Like it's cool to start with the 7 with whatever it is, but then like, you know, sauce it up.
That is fair. I think there are a lot of ways I challenge myself outside of what, like these specific topics that we've been talking about. So it does make me seem very comfortable in my existence and just okay with these things. But I am definitely challenging myself outside of the stuff we've been talking about. But I love that because you and I challenge ourselves in very different ways. And it's very entertaining to be able to talk about them.
Yeah, we do. And that is cool. Did we do all those, the creativity?
That was all 6. Do you have a topic that you would like to add into that?
No, but I don't now, but we should come up with more.
Okay.
To do at a later point.
Yeah, I think that's fun. Or like something that's like changing creativity and consistency
Yeah.
And then making new categories as well.
Wait, before we jump into it, I just thought of something.
All right, what you got?
I think I remember when you did the podcast with Taylor, either your introduction for him or like the blurb you wrote about him or something, was saying something like Taylor doesn't live in the gray, like he lives in the black and white. And I think his that whatever his view is on that, or like his approach on that, is like similar to my 7 out of 10 is the enemy of success.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, cool. That's it. That's all I'd say.
I love the gray area. There's tons of room to explore in there.
That's fair.
Going to wrap it up with a question of the day to the audience. We still have never come to the determination of whether or not we can watch Baby Driver. Kevin Spacey is absolutely canceled, but his character in the movie gets brutally murdered. That being said, you have brought up a good point that we, as viewers, are supposed to relatively enjoy him as the bad guy in the movie. So instead of asking you this, because I've asked you twice, maybe even three times, let's wrap it up here and leave this one to the listeners. Can we watch Baby Driver? Question of the day: is Baby Driver in its entirety canceled, or can we watch it? That is also from October 4th, 2020. And speaking of 2020, next week is 420, and I have a very special episode for y'all on Tuesday. But until then, don't forget to be a human, and remember, it's only a cold if you want it to be. Goodbye.